The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now I am joined by Shane Hannan. As you know, Kyron Wilson became the 2024 World Snooker Champion at the Crucible in Sheffield on Monday evening. He'll be hoping to avoid becoming the latest victim of the Crucible Curse. Shane Hannan from Off the Ball, what is the Crucible Curse?
Well, Pat, this got me thinking about sporting curses because the Crucible Curse will rear its head again at the World Snooker Championship next year. The Crucible Curse says that anyone who wins the World Snooker Championship at the Crucible for the first time will never defend it, as in they will never win it
the next year,
basically. People have, of course, gone on to win multiple World Snooker Championships. Stephen Hendry and Ronnie O'Sullivan have seven apiece. But Hendry, after he won his first, of course, couldn't go back the following year. The closest, in fact, Ken Doherty is one of the two, Joe Johnson as well, came back the following year and got all the way to the final before losing the final in their second year. But it's an interesting curse, and only since snooker moved to the Crucible Theatre in 1977. John Pullman back in the 60s did it, pre-Crucible era. But this curse seems to have legs. Luca Brasel last year won it for the first time, didn't win it this year, was knocked out in the first round, in fact. And Kyron Wilson, we'll see next year if he can break it.
Yeah, I mean, you could say it's probably too much celebration, spending the money, doing mad things in the year that you're not quite up to your game.
That is certainly one of the things that I would put as very high on the list as to why this hasn't happened.
It's kind of a Mickey Mouse curse compared to the Mayo curse.
It is. The Mayo curse is the beautiful one. It's the one we all want to talk about in this country. It's the one we all like to think about, except if you're a Mayo fan, of course. But for people unfamiliar with the Mayo curse, and most people will be, essentially, Mayo win the All-Ireland in 1951. They're all on the bus celebrating. Coming back from Croke Park, 78,000 people cheering them on. And it was a great moment. They're coming through rural Mayo, let's say, and go past the cemetery. And there's allegedly a burial just after happening. And of course, the Mayo players, regardless of celebrations, were kind of told to tone down the celebrations. They did not do so. And the priest who was there, apparently utter damnation be upon every one of you, and then lay upon this curse that for as long as anyone on that bus should live, Mayo would never win another All-Ireland. This is a curse, Pat, that still hasn't been broken. Now, people thought it was kind of coming to an end because we've seen the death of the last members of that Mayo team in recent years. Paddy Prendergast was the man who played for Mayo that year to die, age 95, a few years ago. But Mick Loftus, who was an unused sub who was also on the bus as well, only passed away last year. This has gathered legs to the point at which we had Yuri Geller on Off the Ball a few years ago talking about the Mayo curse and inviting the Mayo manager, then manager James Horne, and the entire team to his home in Israel. Have a listen.
What's his name again?
James Horne.
James, I'm talking to you straight. Look into my eyes now. I'm looking straight into the lens. You have nothing to lose. You just buy a ticket and fly to see me. I'll invite you to my home. I'll teach you a few amazing techniques of mind power. You show that energy. You show what I taught you to the players, and you're going to start winning. You know, that's it. So I will try to remove the curse. I have ways of doing that.
Apparently he has ways of doing it. So Mayo people, fret not. It could happen. Now, some people say it was in Foxford and Mayo that this happened, Patton. People have gone back through censuses trying to discover, was there a funeral actually that week in Foxford? They think there was one maybe a couple of days later. They're not exactly sure if there was one.
So we don't know whether this ever happened.
We don't know. Now, Mick Loftus said, before his passing, he said, it's all hullabaloo. I don't remember any funeral cortege, and I certainly don't remember overtaking a funeral cortege. But he did say, there was a lot of excitement, and just because I didn't see it doesn't mean that there wasn't one. So it's been left quite open, this one, Pat.
Tell me about a curse that affects the Chicago Cubs.
there's a few curses in baseball, Pat, but this is quite an interesting one. So during Game 4 of the 1945 World Series between the Chicago Cubs and the Detroit Tigers, a local businessman, William Sianis, was thrown out of Wrigley Field in Chicago after fellow spectators began complaining of the stench of the pet goat that he had in the stands with him. He brought him into the stadium, and he was furious leaving. And as he left, he put a curse on the Chicago Cubs and damned their chances of winning the title. And people said it was a bit of a publicity stunt. This guy, Sianis, naturally enough, for someone who's going to bring a goat into a stadium, was a bit of an attention seeker, liked a bit of publicity for his businesses in Chicago as well. He owned the nearby Billy Goat Tavern, it was called. So it was a bit of a publicity stunt bringing the goat in the first place. For years, he told people this story, I've cursed the Chicago Cubs. 1969, they're having a really good year, and he kind of rode back and he said, actually, I'll take the curse away, because he thought they were going to win it. They actually didn't go on to win it, and it took a long, long time This curse of the billy goat is referenced in American sports broadcasting very regularly, Pat. They finally, 2016, changed their fortunes, won their first World Series in 108 years. So perhaps the curse of the billy goat is over.
The goat long dead, I presume.
Yeah.
What is the curse of the Bambino? That's also baseball.
That's also baseball. And Babe Ruth, of course, famous baseball player from decades and decades ago. The Boston Red Sox, the most successful team during baseball's early years. They won 5 of the first 15 World Series titles. That came to a screeching halt after the 1918 season. Babe Ruth was sold to the New York Yankees. The Yankees going on to win their first championship in 1923, become one of the most dominant franchises in world sports. And the Red Sox wouldn't win another World Series for 86 years. So they think that Babe Ruth's departure, essentially, this curse of the Bambino, picked up steam by Boston sports writers. It could have been as late as 1990, but the time this term came into the being. But for years, people tried to break this curse in Boston. They tried to rescue an old piano, some fans of the Red Sox, that belonged to Babe Ruth, submerged in a pond on his former property. People took this very seriously, Pat, as you can imagine. Ceremonies with witches as well to try and get this curse off the Red Sox. But basically, it's again come to an end. So the curse of the Bambino, another one of these.
Now, there's a golf one, and this is the Masters Par 3 contest, which happens before the Masters. A tournament no golfer wants to win. Why?
Yeah, you rarely hear of a tournament where a golfer doesn't want to win. But the Masters, of course, one of the most revered tournaments, probably the most revered tournament. And the Par 3 contest, usually played the day before the tournament begins at Augusta in Georgia, isn't quite as beloved. Since the event's debut in 1960, no one has ever gone on to win the Masters itself after winning the Par 3 contest. In fact, just two golfers in history have won the tournament in any year after claiming the Par 3 prize. So it's become very legendary, so legendary in fact that Tiger Woods, who was in a three-way tie for first place at the end of the 2004 Par 3 contest, opted to skip the playoff.
Okay.
So he said, I don't want to win this tournament because otherwise, obviously I'm not going to go on to win the Masters. So a lot of players believe in this jinx. And really, it's one of these that has gathered legs. And yeah, it's the only tournament in world sports I can think of no one wants to win.
Okay, one more, the Socceroos.
Yeah, I mean, the Australian soccer team, this is a fascinating one. In Mozambique, the Australian team, they're at World Cup qualifying back in 1969. The Australian men's soccer team, nicknamed the Socceroos, favoured to beat Rhodesia, now called Zimbabwe, of course. They were locked in a 1-1 series draw, needed the third game to qualify, determined to do whatever it took. They asked a local shaman in Mozambique to put a curse on their opponents. They won their next game 3-1, but failed to pay the shaman for their services. So the story goes, the curse was reversed and put on the Australians. And apparently from that point on, everything went wrong for the Australian men's team. They qualified for just one World Cup over the next 32 years, suffered a series of devastating losses. So a word of advice for anyone out there, if you're getting a curse delivered by a shaman, always remember to pay your bill.
And briefly, some cursed stadiums.
There are a lot of cursed stadiums out there, Papa. The one that really stood out for me in my research, the Superdome, the home of the New Orleans Saints in the NFL, was built on a 19th century graveyard. And after the team was unable to win a single playoff game in its first 33 years of existence, some began to speculate that the stadium was cursed. And some, to this very day, Pat, believe it's because there are bodies beneath the stadium.
All right. Fascinating stuff. Shane Hannon from Off the Ball. Thank you very much.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.